In the fourth and final part, Mehmet Bayram and I discuss the Turkish left opposition and the possibilities for struggle and fight back, the deplorable treatment of political prisoners and inhumane prison conditions, both present and past, and a call to action to protest this mistreatment to the Turkish Ministry of Justice. Links on this page give further information on some of these Turkish political and cultural figures. The segment ends musically with a singing of a Turkish Soviet folk song, Elbruz Dağlar, which means Elbruz Mountains.
Has the Turkish organized left, and you've indicated throughout that it's organized is, you know, a loose term, but also because being able to be organized requires a certain amount of public, you know, cooperation, etc., and so much of the left has been pushed underground. But has the organized left historically been open to defending minority separatism? We're speaking of the Kurds. How does the left deal with Kurdish nationalism and or Kurdish internationalism? And how has it resisted these inevitable pressures that you've taken pains to describe how pervasive and violent and on a quotidian daily basis this this repression is? What is in your mind are the possibilities for joint struggle between the left, the various national groupings that want autonomy, and that, you know, where the aspirations of international socialism are still alive? An email address that listeners might be able to write to the Turkish Ministry of Justice at the email address info@adalet.gov.tr. That's info@adalet.gov.tr, to add their voices, because this letter describes four political prisoners, leftist political prisoners that are in Turkey. Their names are Gürkan Torkoglu, Tahsin Sagaltisi, Hussein Ozen, and Irfan Yilmaz. They've been consigned, I'm not even sure the prison, but they're described as being held in pit cells that are small, you know, barely enough room to sit down. They're handcuffed. They're being force fed. Talk about the status of political prisoners in the dungeons of the Turkish Republic, and their link to the potential for fight back against this system.
It's a very disturbing situation. Let's remember that, again, let me go back a little bit in the history. Turkish Republic was found as a buffer between imperialists and a socialist country that had just formed Soviet Union. And that's why we have a Turkey. Otherwise, there would not. Because right in the middle of the war, England suddenly realizes that a bigger threat has emerged in the war than Ottomans or Germans or this and that. It was socialism. So in order to contain it, they needed a buffer zone. Now, on the other hand, Lenin also needed a buffer zone, buffer country, before the imperialists could run and invade it. So that's why it was kind of an agreement that let's have a country here, and oh yeah, the Turks can do this. So,
but isn't it true that a portion of the former Ottoman Empire in Armenia, Azerbaijan, Georgia, became Soviet Socialist Republics? There were violent struggles during the Civil War between the whites,
of course,
the whites
of
and
course.
The reds.
Yes.
There was a history of Caucasian, by that I mean Caucasus peoples fighting both the Turks and the whites for a Red Russia. And Turkey did lose some of its territory to Soviet socialist republics, did it not?
Exactly. And that's why one of the reasons why, even though it emerged as a buffer country between socialist Soviet Union and English, let's say, imperialist side, although it emerged like that, but it was very, very understood from the very beginning that it was a very, very anti-communist country. Remember, in 1921, I believe, the Communist Party of Turkey was established in Georgia. And then these leaders from Soviet Union wrote a letter to Ataturk saying that we understand you, we support you, we defend you, and we are coming to Turkey to fight next to you. We are coming and we are going to fight together. The minute they entered the border, Mustafa Kemal had them captured and put on a boat, told them that they were being sent back to Georgia, and every single one of them, except the leader's wife, a Russian doctor, she was kept, but the others were drowned in the sea. And unfortunately, this is a very, very sad story. The wife of that communist leader, the leader of the Communist Party of Turkey, was given to Turkish gangs to be gang raped for months on end until she lost her mind
Oh my
and
God.
was left dying on the streets. This is the country that started as staunch anti-communist, and it did not stop there. In 1920s, 30s, 40s, 50s, if you even wrote a poem like Nazım Hikmet talking about equality, you went to prison. You went to prison. Look, a very prominent Turkish author, writer, he wrote a humanistic story, just a short story about this soldier who's been in war in the army for like about 4 or 5 years, and he's being transported in a train. Suddenly he looks out. Oh my God, this is my village. He recognizes that this is the village that he came from. He's not been home for 4 or 5 years. And when the train slows down, he jumps down and rushes to his home. He just, hugs his wife, his children. He was nearly given death sentence for writing this story. Why? Because he was making people cold to being in the military. This is at the time of Mustafa Kemal.
And who's the writer?
He's the oh, you're gonna ask me that. I'm gonna remember it. Halikarnas Balıkçısı. Halikarnas Balıkçısı. He lived in
Halikarnas.
Bodrum. Yeah, he lived in Bodrum in this. Why he was there is that because he was sent as an exile to there. It was just a beautiful Mediterranean coast, but at that time it was just barren land. So people begged the judge not to give him the death sentence for writing this story. So finally it was decided that, okay, we'll exile him. So they sent him there. There he wrote other stories and everything. He made the Bodrum, the Halikarnas is the Greek name of that city. So he made it known and everything. But anyway, I'm trying to show what kind of approach the Turkish government had towards the leftists. When in, in 1971 coup, military, we have coups every 10 years, okay? So in 1971 coup, the leftists were rounded up, many killed under torture, and also like they were going to hang three revolutionaries for robbing a bank. And so, in order to stop those killings, those hangings, other revolutionaries kidnapped two English soldiers from a U.S. base in northern Turkey, and they took the prisoners to a remote village where the Turkish army surrounded them and opened fire and killed everyone there, including the prisoners and everything. So this is the history. 1980, unbelievable oppression against the leftists. Diyarbakir, the center of Kurdistan, prison became notorious. Now it's being turned into a museum of torture. They torture their I can't even tell you the inventive ways of torture they found to these people. More than 1 million leftists went through torture chambers, more than 1 million in 1981 coup. So coming with that, after the 1980s, 90s, United States helped Turkey change its prison systems because prisons were not enough. They proposed the American-type prisons. First of all, it was called the F prisons because of the structure, the way that those are architected are in F shape. And then more came in with the S shape and everything. Now, these prisoners that you mentioned, Tahsin Salcı, Gürkan Türkoğlu, Hüseyin Özen, and İrfan Yılmaz, they have been confined in cells. 5 meters, 5 square meters. Now, the Turkish, traditional Turkish prisons are not like that. They are wards where 15, 20 people live in a large ward and they help each other. They cook together. They teach each other. Prisons are the universities of leftists. When people go in there, they become Marxist-Leninist scholars coming out. So in order to break it now, they are with the US's guidance, they have changed the prison systems. And these prisoners that you mentioned in Antalya prison, they started a hunger strike. And in order to prevent their, more damage to them, what they want is they want to be transferred to a normal prison instead of the cells and stuff. So they are being forced fed and they are being forced forcefully, trying to break their hunger strike. So, but these are not it. Turkey is one of the countries that have the most journalists. Look, you catch somebody doing corruption, like taking bribery, right? Or you have somebody that's related to the government, or a government official's wife has a corporation, and that corporation sells the things to her husband's government office. You catch this, you write this. You know what? You go to prison. Or the government puts a media ban, they call it. You cannot talk about it. You cannot report it. You cannot say it in the news. So this is the environment that the leftists, the Kurds are facing, the minorities are facing. And these people have risked their lives for fighting. In 1990s, actually, when these prisons were first enacted, the entire left went into a hunger strike, and they demanded that this is not all the human rights organization and everything. They condemned these prisons. They are called deep well or pit prisons. And you know what? It was the liberal, leftist, so-called leftist prime minister of Turkey, Bülent Ecevit, from the main opposition party CHP, that ordered the attack. So the army attacked with flamethrowers into the prisons. They killed, I don't remember now how many, but many, many prisoners. So this is the prisoners have be, prisons have become the center or the object of resistance to fascism. And these people that you mentioned are fighting it as well as the others. So they do deserve support and writing. Although the adalet.gov.tr is the Justice Department of Turkish government, and they will not do anything. But the pressure needs to be put on them from around the world.
Let me ask you last question, Mehmet. And immigration in Turkey is a big thing. Not only has it been the site of refugees spilling over its borders from Syria, Iraq, as a result of the 25 years of chaos in the Middle East that the U.S. ushered in, But of course, prior to that, Turks were immigrating across to Europe, especially Germany. There remains in Germany, my understanding, a large Turkish minority population that is settled there and also creates sort of living links to back to the homeland, similar to Latinos in this country that have links back to Mexico and Central America. What are the let's try to end on a positive or optimistic note. What are the potential for struggle against this horrible regime and horrible system that the Turkish masses within Turkey and outside of Turkey could find some outlet? What are your thoughts on that? The migrants in Turkey who are not Turkish that are being treated by refugees as refugees, and also, of course, became the boat people to Europe in the last period. All those Syrian refugees drowning in various places near Greek islands and things like that, but also the Turks that are not in Turkey that still have links to the homeland.
Well, first of all, to understand the stand for or against the migrants, and it's also the same problem that the leftist organizations historically have suffered, is the ideology of Mustafa Kemal Atatürk. Unfortunately, this ideology is so strong, Thomas, so strong. It's one of the hardest things to beat. This ideology, again, we talked about this. One country, one flag, one language, one this, one that, one leader, one religion. So, Turkish left organizations have also, unfortunately, adopted this ideology. Very, very embarrassing. And they are unable to break it. We were talking about all those writers, right? And imprisoned or being going to be executed, or not poets like world-known poet like Nazım Hikmet, a Communist Party member. They have written in their lives while in prison by Kemal, their praises to Kemalist and ideology and to motherland and this that, because they believe that Mustafa Kemal established this country. Without him, we would have been nothing. We would have been gone, and we owe our life to him, and so on. That ideology, which is false, lie, but that has gone into the leftist ideology as well, like that poem, poets, and it's
As you
so.
recall, and I think it was the book of Darkness at Noon that fictionalized the Soviet purges and trials that ended fictionally, but it happened time and time again, where these old Bolsheviks literally confessed to crimes they didn't commit to buttress the system, that they had an ideological blindness, which I think is what you're implying. That these people cannot see beyond, sort of the limits of Turkish nationalism, so they end up praising Atatürk even while he's been their oppressor.
Could be the same way, but suppose that was in 1930s, 40s. But what about today? Why do the left still cannot think independently from a working class interest, working class perspective, and still harbor this nationalism? And this nationalism is what is keeping. And what has caused Turkey a revolution in 1980s is the separation of Kurds from Turks, Armenians from Turks, Greeks from Turks. Because even today, you can talk about human rights in the left of the Kurds or the Armenian, but one thing you are not allowed to talk is equality. Turks still believe from the Kemalist ideology that Turks should be the ruling ones and the others are our subjects. Oh, they should know their place, and we will tell them what they can do and what they cannot. But we are so good, we will grant them some human rights. We will grant them their language, but we will grant them, not they take it. So this goes also in the ideology of Kemalism. Remember, in 1923, when the Ottomans were disbanded and modern Turkey happened, Kemal decided that in one night, that Turkey was no longer an Eastern country. We were Western, just like that. One night, we became Western. What did he do? He banned the fez, you know, the red hats that Ottomans. So he imported 3 or 5 shiploads of hats from England. He thought that changing the hat will make us overnight Western. But that worship of Western values still stays today. And that losing, this is very important. When an empire loses its colonies, as the Ottomans had in Arab Peninsula, all those Arab countries were Ottoman colonies. And with the First World War, the Ottomans lost them. And Turks never, ever forgave Arabs for that. That's why today, Kurds are being accused of being the tools of imperialism. Arabs are always the tools of imperialism. They are stupid, they are backward, they are dirty, they are this, they are that.
Oh,
but
my gosh,
Turks
yeah.
are much better. So this racism, open racism, still stays. And when you have migrants, when you have refugees from a country that you attacked yourself and bombed their homes, come over to pass over to Europe, people despise them. The racism just appears. You can see videos of a 20-year-old Turkish guy slapping 6-year-old Syrian babies because they are Syrian. Today, I guess Afghans are like the 40% of all refugees in Turkey. Okay? Just imagine what they go through. They are being stoned. Nobody gives them homes. Women are being exploited like nothing. And then just last week, there were about like 15 Iranian refugees who were promised work. So they come in to the northern side of Turkey and they pick tea leaves, you know, for the tea. And after several weeks, they have not been paid. So they demand payment. They are beaten to a pulp. One had his jaw broken and everything. The police had to come in and rescue them. Exploitation, I mean, below minimum. Turkish minimum wage is nothing, nothing. It's below hunger level. Let me repeat. Minimum wage is below hunger level. And these people don't even get paid minimum wage. Many times they are worked for like about 5 months, 6 months. And when they demand to be paid, they're just simply thrown out. Now, Turkey signed a deal with Europe. They closed the borders for, I don't know how much, but billions of dollars they got, so that Turkey was the holding cell for all these refugees to be kept in Turkey. That helped Erdogan because he got funds, he got money, but that also helped stoke the nationalist, racist, feelings of the people, because it is just like in the United States. People think that the best jobs are going to the refugees, that Turks have become the second class citizens. The refugees take they have all the rights that Turks don't have. They open stores. They don't even talk Turkish. And this and that. You know the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the left has tried, some of the left, some of the Marxist-Leninist left have tried to break this. But being a victim of Kemalist ideology, it is so hard to do this. Yes, there are many, many efforts between the Greeks in Greece as well, having film festivals, having joint actions, like supporting each other. That's there. But unfortunately, this force that, with the support of imperialism, that Erdogan and his buddies, and also even the opposing, the opposition to Erdogan, which are the Kemalists. So you have to pick between two fascists. You want the green fascists or the red fascists. You have no option of choosing no fascists at all. They are the ones. Opposition is the number one organizer against the refugees. They are the ones who are stoking the flames of nationalism, racism. This is the opposition. This is the liberal left-leaning opposition that the party is a member of the Socialist International Organization. So how do you fight this? You try, you try, you try, but unless a break happens, it is so very hard. Yes, the left, real left, is trying to join forces. As they have done, they have learned their lesson from the Kurdish. In the beginning, they did not accept the left, even the Marxist, the Leninist left. Still today, there are some that refuse to give the self-determination right to the Kurds. What kind of a left is this? I don't know. But we have to break this. We have to break this ideological clamp on our thinking for nationalism, racism, ethnicism, and xenophobia. Turks have tremendous xenophobia. Now they are reporting if brown-skinned people are on the beach, just hanging out. Few of them got together and they are at the beach. Now people are reporting it. There they are. They are doing something. Those brown people. This is the level that we have come down to.
Well, it's sort of sh the old adage about the left. You either march in unity, to protect and defend class interests, or you fall back separately. And each nationality and religious grouping are, divided and thus conquered. Mehmet Bayram, I want to thank you very much for a very stimulating conversation. The Pacifica radio audience is, I'm sure, going to learn a great deal, as I have, about Turkish history and then the modern realities of Turkey. We're going to have to leave it at there, but I think there's plenty of fodder to renew this conversation in the future. And I want to thank you very much for your expertise and cooperation. And thank you so much, Mehmet.
Thank you, Thomas, for giving me the opportunity and taking the time for this great, great talk with you.
Elimde akordiyon, elimde balalayka, şimdi Kafkasya'da olsam ya. Elimde akordiyon, elimde balalayka, şimdi Kafkasya'da olsam ya. Hoyra hoyrera, hoyra hoyrera, hoyra hoyrera. Hoyra hoyrera, hoyra hoyrera, hoyra hoyrera. Kara günler gelip çökende, düşman çizmesi de zende. Kara günler gelip çökende, düşman çizmesi de zende. Yüreğim kan alıyor, ilmik boyuna geçende, sır vermez partizan sitare. Yüreğim kan alıyor, ilmik boyuna geçende, sır vermez partizan sitare. Hoyra hoyra, hoyra hoyra, hoyra hoyra. Hoyra hoyra, hoyra hoyra, hoyra hoyra. Yanan köyüm tüter burnumda, yoldaşım asılmış kolhozda. Yanan köyüm tüter burnumda, yoldaşım asılmış kolhozda. Gün gelir hesap sorar, sitare ile Natalya, faşiste mezardır Kafkasya. Gün gelir hesap sorar, sitare ile Natalya, faşiste mezardır Kafkasya. Hoyra hoyra, hoyra hoyrera, hoyra hoyrera ra. Hoyra hoyrera, hoyra hoyrera, hoyra hoyrera ra. Krasnodar, Krym, Odessa, Kiev, Kharkov, Kuban, Ukraina. Krasnodar, Krym, Odessa, Kiev, Kharkov, Kuban, Ukraina. Düşmedi Stalingrad, verilmedi Moskova, kızıl süvariler hücumda. Düşmedi Stalingrad, verilmedi Moskova, kızıl süvariler hücumda. Hayra hayra, hayra hayra, hayra hayra. Hayra hayra, yoldaşların arasında kızıl yıldız kalbağında. Yoldaşların arasında kızıl yıldız kalbağında. Berlin'e ilerliyor tankların arkasında Ahmet'le İvan kol kola. Berlin'e ilerliyor tankların arkasında Ahmet'le İvan kol kola. Hayra hayra, hayra hayra, hayra hayra. Hayra hayra, hayra hayra, hayra hayra. Görmediydin yarim sitare, faşist ezdik biz ininde. Görmediydin yarim sitare, faşist ezdik biz ininde. Kazaska oynuyoruz zafer türküleriyle, şimdi bayrağımız Berlin'de. Kazaska oynuyoruz zafer türküleriyle, şimdi bayrağımız Berlin'de. Hayra hayra, hayra hayra, hayra hayra. Hayra hayra, hayra hayra, hayra hayra.